doesn't spare expense? I don't understand what you're saying.
They actually, they did a good job.
I mean,
with
yeah,
this,
that's
right?
great. That's Mitzi's remains they yeah. used to patch that up. So that was good.
We spent all the budget on the banner.
Oh, I thought it was Argus's face. But yeah, the banner's good too. I believe that, by the way.
The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
All right, you are recording again. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us here. World famous Comedy Store podcast. I have the great Greg Fitzsimmons.
My God, I'm having such deja vu right
are
now.
Are you?
It's almost like you just said all that.
Yeah. Isn't that neat? It's like you were just here.
Yeah.
That's how fast the time goes since the last... since 6 minutes? I think it was six? 6 minutes?
Yeah. Wait, so...
time goes so fast.
You know, it might be kind of fun since your usual co-host is not here.
I know, Rick I'm sorry. Ingram is Rick gone. Ingram is...
let's talk about him a little bit.
Let's shit on him. Yeah, I like this. I like where we're going with this.
I mean, he's an interesting guy because he's like the most acerbic guy. You know, he goes on and he shits on the crowd.
Yeah.
And he's got this hard edge.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, he's a real, like, sweetheart underneath it all, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is, right?
He's a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
Like, he's Mr. Mom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
No
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. He does everything.
What's his wife do? She's
a producer. She works for E.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so those are crazy hours if she's a producer on
yeah,
E.
Yeah, she's always working and he's full time. Like sometimes he'll be like, wait, I got to give her love? Like I'm cold. I don't.
Yeah.
But I've seen him with his daughter and it's amazing.
Yeah.
He's adorable.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, that guy just shit on everyone in the main room.
Right.
That same guy.
Right.
Yeah. Rick Ingram.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's a little crazy.
Complex guy, huh?
A fucking maniac is what they would
call. Do you think he's an
him.
Unhappy guy?
Yes. I think he's happily miserable.
Yeah.
I think he enjoys it. I remember Marin said to him in the hallway one time, hey, man, the anger doesn't work. Dead. I was dead. I was like, no.
I love that
hey,
coming
pot,
from
this
Marin.
Is kettle. Yeah.
It took Marin fucking 30 years to get the anger to work.
So long.
Yeah.
And I love Marin, but like when I first met him in the early 90s, he was here for a stint and he was still drinking, but he didn't remember me. And I was like, dude, you were here every fucking night, you know, for a good 2 years, solid 2 years. Like, and I remember his crew he hung out with and he's like, I'll bring them up and he'll be like, you remember that guy? Fuck. But he was like this angry little ball of fire. He was always great on stage. Like he never was like a shitty comic that got better.
You were here back then? So you were around when Kinison was here.
I like that you looked at me like that. Yeah. No. Kinison passed, unfortunately, in 92. I started in 93. Because I remember one of my first nights here, the owner, Mitzi, was sitting in the main room. And a couple other comics. I think it was like Alan Steven. I only remember Alan, maybe John Mulrooney. I forget. But I remember Alan specifically because he was always so nice to me. And he was like very close to Mitzi.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was brand spanking new. Maybe like 2 months, 3 months tops. And I walked in the main room and I was thinking, fuck, she's still in there. Like I couldn't leave until they left because
mm-hmm.
that was my section. And I was so pissed. And we were here till about 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, no shit.
And I'm like, I'm 21. I'm like, the fuck is this shit? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I want to go party. I want to drink too, you know, because they were just drinking. It was a year anniversary.
Oh.
I didn't know. Okay. I didn't know. I was just an idiot. I wasn't interested in comedy. I was just, you know, moved out here to be an actress and got a job at the Comedy Store. With zero aspirations to be a comic and or know anything about comedy. Like I knew of it, but I, you know, I knew the big dogs.
Yeah.
That was it. Like I wouldn't know how you get into it. I just figure you do movies and get into it at some point.
So when you were blowing guys, it was for acting work. It wasn't for comedy.
Absolutely. And yeah. I'll tell you this. It was for theater acting work, which makes it even less. Than...
So you have AIDS. If you were sucking theater dick, you
this
are
is
HIV.
Not an very... AIDS spot. It's an AIDS spot. It's different. And people always judge. But it's true. Like, I moved here. But I wanted to move to New York from Philly, and I moved to L.A. But the reason was it was cheaper. The rent here was $800 for a two-bedroom.
Uh-huh.
In New York, for, like, this size was $1,500, mm-hmm. $1,600 maybe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, fuck, why didn't I go to New York? You know what I mean? But I probably would have never got into comedy because I didn't start comedy till 2007. I'm a late bloomer.
Mm.
So, and I was waiting tables here for 12 years. Left, came back a year later as a comic.
Oh,
if that's not psychotic behavior, I don't know what
is. That is crazy.
I know. So we can't shit on Rick too much knowing I'm a blatant psychopath.
Yeah, I think you guys, it makes sense that you guys host this thing together. It's a matter of who's gonna
snap first.
Yeah, right.
Because we both have anger issues,
uh-huh,
in different ways. Like Rick verbally assaults people. I do that a little bit, but I much prefer to physically assault. Like, I'm just...
What's the worst better. Physical fight that you ever got into?
Really? I know it so well, and it's uncomfortable to think about. And the girl that I had the fight with...
This is back in Philly?
Is in Philly. A little background on her. Maybe about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, her boyfriend turned state's evidence, and the whole city of gangsters were after her. And she would just walk in the streets with guns on her hip, like old Western style, going, yeah, come on, bring it, whatever you want. The whole mob was hysterical. It was the highest ranking turncoat ever in Philly mob.
That was her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. This girl was.
She was Italian?
I gotta be honest. I don't know. Mm. I'm never gonna say her name, but probably. She looked more Irish. She was freckly and light skinned.
So this is 10, 12 years ago. And she's still around?
Oh, she's still around. She's trying to sell a script now. I get nervous when I go home because I'm like, fuck, she might think I have connections. Like,
oh,
I don't want to get involved. Because what happened was when I was younger, obviously, like 14 because 14 or 15 because my best friend was pregnant naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some younger girls having a fight and they had got me involved. And when I went there, I realized, they're young. Work it out amongst yourself. And I might have said some shit like, you know, figure it out. Don't be a twat, blah, 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 whatever. And I walked away. Like, it wasn't I would never fight girls that they were like 4 years younger. So I left. And then out of nowhere, this girl came after me because the young girl said that I hit them.
Oh.
And I that's not who I am.
Uh-huh.
And that girl now lives on my mother's street and she always sees my mother and she's like, tell Eleanor I said hi. I said, you tell her, go fuck herself. You tell her every day, go fuck herself.
This was the mole's girlfriend.
Yeah. No, this is...
Oh, the little girl who said that you
hit them. The little girl who the younger girl who ratted me out.
Yeah.
Or whatever, made up a story.
Uh-huh.
So I was at this playground across from my mom's house, and this crazy girl rolled up. And she was very tough. I knew all about her. They used to jump girls all the time. I nearly got jumped by them once and didn't know it, but I heard them, and I ran I ran up an alleyway, and like Eric Dickerson through the backfield. Uh-huh. I was just out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck this. I'm not in my neighborhood. So I was by myself. But I realized it was them later. I was like, fuck, those girls are crazy. So those girls come walking in my playground. Well, what am I going to do? They got nunchucks and chains.
No.
Yep.
What the fuck?
And I was like, fuck me.
And it's just you?
No. The whole the playground was packed. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm with my best friend who's pregnant. So maybe I was 15 because she had the baby when she was 16. We're a year apart. she, so I was like, what the fuck? So they go, we're looking for Eleanor Kerrigan. I go, oh, shit. And I knew, I felt it immediately. I felt the, and I was like, shit. And she came at me and she started saying that girl's name and this. And I go, look, that didn't happen. I tried to defend myself. And then she went to hit me with like a stick that had a chain on it. It wasn't like a, it was like a homemade nunchuck.
Like the warriors.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
As I remember thinking, and then me and Franny, my friend, we were like, fuck. So we just ran because they had weapons. Uh-huh. We were like, shit, we're looking for stuff, right? And then I was like, I can't run out of my own neighborhood. I'll never live this down. I'm a street fighter, but they got weapons. And I just, this is so awful. But I remember she got me by the throat and she had a knife to my throat. And my best friend, Timmy Martin, went, he goes, I got you. And he threw a knife to me, but it was a butter knife. And I remember being like, huh.
Did he throw you jelly too?
Did you want me to butter her neck? I don't, like, it was frightening, right? Yeah. And then, like, all these people got, like, my friend Kim Del Bono, all these people got involved trying to pry this girl off me. And while we were, like, going around holding my butter knife to her real knife to next, like, I wouldn't let go either. Because I was like, fuck this, I can't, not in my own neighborhood. So as we were turning, one of her friends went to stab me in the back. And this other kid, Joey Russo, just tackled her. And I was wondering, why is Joey tackling somebody? I mean, not Joey, Raymond, his older brother. But I was like, why is he tackling her? Like, I didn't even know. It would have been lights out.
Right.
So, it was the scariest and weirdest.
Damn.
Fucking fight I'd
That's
ever been
insane.
In. And for years, this girl would come after me for no reason. And finally, I had a friend just step in and squash it. Like, you're just chasing the wrong person. She's never going to back down to you. And, you know, it's always just going to be this weird fucking tug of war.
Yeah.
Unless you come with all your friends like she would do with weapons.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I thought my friend was going to go into labor. Like, she's 16 years old. In her Catholic school uniform. Classy.
That's a fucking...
That was a scary
If you want to get pregnant, put one of those Catholic schoolgirl uniforms on. Forget in vitro fertilization.
Right.
Plaid skirt.
That's all you need. It wasn't plaid. Ours was solid.
Yeah.
All-girl Catholic high school. Most of the girls were pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
All immaculate conceptions. Obvi.
Yeah.
And I don't know who was bringing in the semen, but that shit got in there. Damn. Did you go to Catholic school growing up?
No, but I grew up Catholic, so I went to like...
catechism?
Went to Wednesday night classes.
Wednesday night. Oh.
CCD classes on Wednesday nights. And then church on Sunday. And we were such fuck-ups that we used to go to this one...
You mean your family or just...
My friends.
Got it. Okay.
And our parents thought that we were in so much trouble. Our parents were like, this will straighten them out. You know, we'll send them to CCD.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And so we went to this guy, Mr. Agro's house, and we used to torture his wife.
Amazing.
His wife would teach us. And I mean, the shit we did. And I remember one week I went up and he had a tropical fish tank.
Okay.
And I went up to the thermostat before we left and I fucking cranked it. I cranked it up as high as it could go. And we came back the next week. And there was no fucking fish left in that tank. That thing was empty. It was just water.
Murder.
And the bubbles were still going. Like, he left him in. He kept the bubbles going. And he comes down, and we're sitting there, and he goes, one of you guys killed all my fish. And I go, wasn't a fish the sign of Jesus?
I had to bow my head. I almost broke my neck on that one.
And he goes, yeah. I go, that's bad, that. And he fucking came at me and his wife like grabbed him.
Oh my God.
And they kicked me and another kid.
But then it was
Brian Van Horn.
House.
We got kicked out. We had to go to the next town down for CCD classes on Wednesday nights.
And where is this? In New York?
Yeah.
The next town down? Why
next
didn't they have
down.
It at a hole? Why would they have it at somebody's house?
Well, because it was
Children
like these parents
terrible.
That were Eucharistic ministers. You know, the people
I know
that
them
are,
well.
They're not quite up to being priests and nuns, but they fantasize about it.
is a Eucharist.
Oh, really?
Not anymore. Kids graduated. So she's like, bye, I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah. But what they usually do also is they bring the Eucharist to disabled people. They'll go to people's homes and they'll give them communion. And they're licensed to do it by the church.
Yeah.
They do marriage counseling.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I've had my sister was sick, so they used to come to the house with the Eucharist. Sometimes it was a nun. Sometimes it was just our friend, my mom's neighbor.
Yeah.
Like, was the Eucharistic minister. And then also when my parents were getting divorced, well, I guess it wasn't a Eucharistic minister. It was the actual priest that would try to keep them together. My mom always defends him, even though we hated him. She's like, he was a good guy. He tried to keep your father and I together. And I'm like, Daddy's an asshole. Like,
yeah.
He should have just said that.
Right.
Like, but I get it. You're lucky that you didn't have to go to Catholic school, though.
Well, both my parents went to Catholic schools in the Bronx, and they got the shit kicked out of them by the priests and the nuns.
Sure. That's why we didn't like this guy.
So that's why both my parents were like, you're not going to Catholic school because of that. Yeah. So, but, you know, look, Catholic schools, my son's going to a Catholic college right now.
Really? That's great.
Yeah.
My niece went, and my nephew goes now.
To a Catholic college? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What schools?
Newman on the East Coast.
Never heard of it.
Right outside of Philadelphia. I don't know why you got to look away. Like, never, like, they're not Notre Dame. Jesus.
Well, you know, it's nice. It's nice that they're going to a college.
It's a college.
Yeah.
It's
so funny because my son's, and we didn't raise them Catholic, but his final two choices of colleges were Fordham and DePaul, which are both Catholic schools.
Yeah. And great schools too. Though.
And I think it's great because, like, Catholics are great people. You know,
we really are. We're good people.
We're good people. We walk the walk. We do service.
Yeah.
You know, we have some spirituality, and, you know, there's a horrible history of abuse in the church, but that has nothing to do with, like, your average working class Catholic people that are, you know,
I feel like it's a great message that gets misunderstood quite often.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're right. My mom is probably one of the best people I've ever met in my life. She's very Catholic. But then I know that idiot priest that she would defend that would mess with my brother, Charlie. Like, it's just not cool.
Okay. Give me your favorite commandment and your least favorite commandment.
My favorite commandment? I don't like being told what to do. So I don't know. I guess, honor their mother and father?
That's your favorite? You just dishonored your father. You just talked shit about your father.
You're absolutely right.
you just broke your favorite commandment.
I'm not saying it's my favorite. I don't have a favorite commandment.
How can you not have a favorite commandment?
Who has a favorite commandment?
You, every Catholic, you sit there for hours in church, nothing to do except think about this shit.
Yeah, there's millions of things to think about other than that shit.
No, because you're praying on it. You're being
praying about dating the guy and fantasizing that
you're fantasizing about a priest.
No, I would fantasize their head would explode. Like, sometimes I would get mad. I had anger issues, so I didn't like being told what to do. I have trouble with, like, that kind of shit.
Yeah,
but I don't think I got to be honest. I think Bill Burr said it in a special that he broke mostly every commandment except for one, and then I realized I broke them all.
You killed somebody?
Technically?
Really?
An abortion?
I mean, technically.
Is that...
Well, how far along was it?
On the beginning, like, right away.
It wasn't, like, on the way to the emergency room.
No, yeah. What am I... wrong with you? I can't do it. I can't. It's not gonna happen.
I'm having second thoughts here. Can you turn
this
around?
Wait a minute. Are we crowning? Hold on a second.
You know what? Take a left here. Instead of going straight, take a left.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph. No. No, no, no.
Do you know?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I was very young.
Did you see his most recent special?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I really enjoyed it, and I read some criticism online, and I was pissed.
What criticism? Of course.
People are idiots.
Of course there's criticism, because it's a person who is speaking their mind, and even he admits he's pushing buttons. He's like, I don't believe all this shit.
Exactly.
It's just saying shit.
It's fucking comedy.
It's comedy.
What is wrong with you idiots? I literally read something where the guy goes, oh, real, real great special. Yeah, one of the best, making fun of paraplegics. Mm. No, no, you missed the joke.
Yeah.
You missed the whole fucking idea of the goddamn joke.
Yeah.
Like, I was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
But they all do it.
Who do you think the female comic is he was talking about that flicked him in the dick?
I think I know who it was, but I'm not going to say.
I think I know too.
Yeah, because I've heard him do it live a few times,
uh-huh.
And then technically somebody told me that was that person, but then they were like, "No, I don't know if it was." But I was like, "I knew it." You know what I mean? Like when somebody slips,
right?
And then I was like, "I knew it! Right. I knew it!"
It's a great special, and Chappelle's special also.
Chappelle's was
and he
great.
Got shit too. But it's like, thank God people are doing specials like that still.
It has to be. It's like, look, I tour with Dice. He says some of the craziest shit. And in the middle of his act, he'll be like, guys, if you're really getting upset about that, like if I did anything that I say up here, I'd be doing 15 to 25 years in a maximum security prison. Like, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Know that it's a joke. I can't help you along any more than to, obviously, this is a joke.
Yeah.
Right? And he, like, it's just, people get so offended by the littlest things. Like, we were in New York, and we went to the Cellar, and Attell and Jeff Ross were there, and they brought him up to the bumping mic.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how to do that. Like, he's not going to do your little jokes and bump, and he don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And he just does his shtick.
Mm-hmm.
So he went up, and he was doing his shtick, and he was picking on Asians, like, hardcore, doing this new fabulous bit that he has, whatever. And the audience is in shock.
Mm-hmm.
And Attell was like, Andrew, I'm sorry, I gotta butt in. And he didn't want to, but he had to. He goes, you're scaring them. Like, this is not. He goes, the guy in the front is flipping out. Somebody get him a kale salad and a service dog, quick. Like, because you know they're all hipsters now in the village, so it's like the guy was looking like, oh God, he's talking about Asians. There's one right there.
Yeah,
does he know there's one right there? Like, terrified.
And that's the thing about, like, you think about the great comedy cities. It's always the ones that have diversity, that have different elements. You know, New York and Philly and Boston, San Francisco. You got different people all in the same room together, and that's when the comedy's good. You know, because you're, and all of a sudden New York is getting very homogenous, and it's getting to where, you know.
Yes. And everybody's complaining about it. And I didn't notice it until I saw him up there. Like, I go on, I don't, you know, people disagree or whatever, you know. I don't know. I feel like I'm a people pleaser. So if I see somebody's uncomfortable, I'll switch gears for them. Uh-huh. I'm like, stop doing that. You know, I get mad at myself when I do that.
Yeah.
But when I saw him up there, and I saw the fear, and I was like, oh my God. Like, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Especially in the village.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's like a lot of NYU students, and then you get tourists.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's almost like the Cellar could be a victim of it. It's still amazing.
It's, yeah.
But I mean, it can be a victim of its own success sometimes if they get too many people that are tourists that come in.
Yeah. A lot of people were on board, but then a lot of people were scared. And I loved Attell looked at them. He goes, are you guys tourists? And they were like, yeah. And he goes, well, he just saved you a trip to Staten Island. Now you don't have to go see that. Like, And Andrew just looked at him like, what's that mean? I'm from Brooklyn. Like,
I remember.
So great.
I went at a tell this many years ago. We're at the Boston Comedy Club in the Village.
Okay.
And there's these like NYU girls and they're sitting there on the edge of the stage and they're Chinese and they're all dressed in black and they're smoking cigarettes.
Ooh, fancy.
And Attell just walks, and they're not laughing, and Attell just walks over and just like in between jokes he goes, "Hey, could you guys be more Asian?" The place laughed for like fucking 10 minutes. Like, you can't even do that shit anymore.
No. And that's kind of what Andrew was doing, which was weird.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I'm so used to it. Like, just say how you feel, whatever.
Yeah.
But in certain spots, it's true. It's like, people pull back and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I fucked that one up.
Yeah.
But you're edgy. You're an edgy guy. I mean, you speak your mind, rather. Right.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky because I think I, pretty. Yeah, I can. Well, I guess so. But I think that I've always like come off as a nice enough guy that I get away with stuff.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, these things. I think people categorically probably are, you know, upset when Andrew talks because. His whole persona bothers them.
Yeah.
Whereas if I go up there and I'm dressed in a fucking, you know, a golf shirt and khakis and I seem safe enough that when I say stuff, they know that it's probably not coming from a really evil place.
Right.
Which lets me go even further.
That's true.
Yeah, like I say cunt and nigger and stuff on
Good
stage.
Good for you. I'm proud of you. Huh?
Never in the same sentence, though.
Doesn't Irera do that bit? It kills me.
No, what does he say?
He says, "I never say it in the same sentence."
Oh, really?
So I'm almost positive.
I just stole his bit
on
your podcast.
Oh, who cares? I mean, I think
like him a lot. I had this whole thing about women that dress like whores, you know, and how do you know? It must be hard now for women because how does a real whore get anyone's attention? And like it turns out he had the same bit.
Wow.
We have a very similar sensibility.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's maybe why I like you. Yeah. See, Dom, as guinea as he is very Irish-like.
Is he part Irish?
Nope.
No, he's all Italian.
But all his friends are.
Yeah.
Most of his friends are. Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm going to McGettigan's. I'm like, are you?
Oh, that's funny.
You know, like he's always oh, Hanlon's coming over. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're the opposite. You're the opposite. Like, I grew up in an all-Italian neighborhood. He grew up in an all-Irish.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's why he's Irish-washed. I'm Guinea-washed.
Guinea-washed.
What about you?
Well, the neighborhood I was born in was Irish and Italian in the Bronx. And it was, my grandfather hated the Italians, called me Italians.
Italians, sure, because, from Italy, Dom's bit.
Because they came in at the same time. Or I think the Irish came just ahead of the Italians. Or the Italians come in first. All I know is they were fighting for the same real estate. So they were, you know, they were, and the Italians looked down on the Irish because
everybody hated the Irish.
We had no skills. We were uneducated. We were scrappy.
Just like, can't we just fight it out? And
the Italians at least were stonemasons.
Yeah.
You guys knew how to do shit.
No, I'm Irish.
Oh, yeah. 100%. The Italians knew how to do shit. And so I think they really looked down on the Irish. And then we couldn't stop having fucking kids. 11 kids in a two-bedroom apartment. And they just kept fucking having them. It's embarrassing.
Pull out.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah.
I had my grandfather was one of 13.
Mm-hmm.
And they all born in Ireland. And then they all came over here one by one.
Wow.
Into the Bronx. And, you know, and it was tough. It was very tough for him.
Yeah, my dad's side's giant. My mom had 10 kids. My mom's sister had 10 kids. Like, we're a tribe.
Yeah.
And we were in a little row home. Like, it's just crazy. And then there was the Duffys and the Gallaghers in our neighborhood, and they all 11 kids they had. Like,
right.
So all the Irish families had bigger.
Damn.
Like, there was a few Italian families that had, like, 6.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that was, woo. Crazy.
Did your mom have issues with her pelvic floor later in life?
I don't know what you mean.
she used to wet herself a lot? Like, was her whole vagina just...
fell out. But she had a hysterectomy.
My friend's mother, yeah, that's what you have to do.
Well, no, but she... I don't know if that's why. I was really little when she had that. And
because my friend's mom had a hysterectomy because her pelvic floor was falling.
My mom says that happens. And her stomach came out of her... talking about
stomach came out of her vagina.
Yeah. She was like, wait till that happens. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, yeah. That's gross.
Yeah.
But she said it happened to a few of her friends. So I don't know if she had the hysterectomy because of that or other...
I bet she had it because of that. That's one of those ways you fix it.
Like, I do a joke about it that she had a hysterectomy and there were still babies in it. She's like, just take it. She hates it. She hates it. Just give it to someone else. She hates when I say it. Please, Mom. See, Greg's laughing.
It's a big deal.
Like an old vending machine you thought was empty.
Oh,
there's a couple of packs of Marlboros at the bottom.
Just loose cigarettes. Just
give away.
I can't
smoke anymore.
My lungs hurt, honey. Yeah. I don't. That's insane to me. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I've heard that, what you're saying. Mm. Now that you say it that way, like, I was like, pelvic floor.
Yeah, the stomach will come right out and they piss themselves all the time.
No.
They can't stop. They're incontinent.
No.
Yeah.
I would flip out. I would flip out.
You ever piss yourself from laughing? Because what happens with women?
Close. I'll tell you when I get the closest. And this is going to sound so sickening. But you ever hide from somebody?
Hide from somebody?
Like, try to scare someone and you're hiding, or like...
How old are you?
If you called my brother Billy, he'd be like, I'm not hiding because I'm going to pee my pants. And I'm like, wait, is this a thing in our family only? Or like, if we hide... And we're like, the anticipation could make us want to wet ourselves.
I could see that.
And I don't know
why,
I get that. But even when I was a kid, that's how it was.
I like, get that.
You know, like, I've done it as an adult. Like, I'm going to scare him. I'm going to scare this person, whoever it is. And then I'm like, oh my God, I have to pee. Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna pee my pants. I've never peed my pants. I was a bedwetter for years, but that's a whole nother story.
I think women that have babies pee themselves.
Well, sure. They,
more.
They fuck up everything.
Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
Six.
Good for you. No, you don't.
Two.
Good. That's a rich man's family, as my mother would say.
That's right. You know, everybody I know has two kids.
Bit smart.
Everybody has two.
Tag out. Get one of each.
How the
roll
fuck?
The
you know what college costs these days? I just dropped my son off for college. That shit is 60 grand a year.
Jesus.
Times two kids, that's $500,000.
Yeah, and you can't pay to have a building to get them in.
No.
Just kidding.
No.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Yeah. My brothers and sister, my sister Karen went through it with her two kids. Jimmy went through it. Now my brother Bobby's going through it with his two kids. Like, everybody, my brother Johnny's going to go through it next year. Everybody's coming up. It's brutal. Like, and my nephew, little Jimmy, he plays for the Minnesota Twins. So,
really?
Yeah. He went through, he got a baseball scholarship to Temple. Then Temple canceled the baseball program.
Oh.
So he didn't like know what to do. And then he got picked up by VCU, which was better because it's better to play in the South where it's nicer.
Yeah.
You know, the weather, you can play all year.
Sure.
So he went to VCU, brought those guys to, like, they were one game out away from winning the World Series.
Wow.
So it was amazing, like, seeing him on ESPN. Like, but now, then the Twins, he went to an independent league. And from there, the Twins signed him. But my brother and sister-in-law have taken loan upon loans to give this kid, you know, him and his sister, because his sister went 5 years because she changed her major. Jimmy went 5 years because he had to switch schools. So it's like...
Plus, a lot of times, he's a pitcher?
No, Jimmy's now he's in center field.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, like, for baseball players, there's a lot of paying for coaches.
Anything.
When they play at that level...
Just housing, anything,
yeah.
Independently, like housing, all that stuff.
It's so funny with the Irish family, because how many nieces and nephews do you have?
Only 10.
Oh.
We're very slow to the take.
So 9 siblings, but 10 nieces and nephews?
Mm-hmm. 5 had and 5 didn't.
Yeah.
I'm part of the problem.
No, you're part of the solution.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Is that, like, we have one of my cousin's sons is a professional golfer.
That's amazing.
And it is amazing, like, that we, and it was me for a while, like, every family, every yes. Irish family picks one person that they're proud of because he made
I'm
it big.
All of them.
And
yeah.
But no, but there's one that you really, like, it validates, like, you know, we don't talk
Sean,
about Jimmy's an
listening.
Alcoholic. We don't yeah. talk about Uncle Dennis who made out with our other aunt at the wedding.
Oh,
you know,
we can't talk about aunts and uncles. That's uncomfortable.
No. And you don't talk about any of the failures, but you just talk about that one fucking kid. But, like, I bet you bring up that goddamn Minnesota twin in every podcast you do.
For the most part, yeah. But my nephew, Sean, too. I know it's terrible, and I bring up only the boys. The girls are amazing, too. But the top four, they're the ones that, like, they're in their 20s now, mid-20s. You know, Jimmy's 25 now, and Alexa and Nicole are 27. And then Sean is 31, but Sean, he just got his doctorate. Like, he's
oh really?
Yeah, he's not like there's nothing. Like, he married a doctor. He teaches nursing. Like,
so he's gonna
and he's a golfer. He initially went to Penn State. He was golfing, but then he learned how to party,
and he became a doctor.
A nurse.
A nurse, and he's gonna take care of your brother.
My sister. My sister Karen. Yeah, she's amazing.
So if you have nine brothers and sisters, who is the most financially successful out of all of them?
Good question. It might be me, and that's sad.
No,
I'm kidding. No, I don't know. I got to be honest. Because I feel like they're all just hardworking. I don't know who makes the most money. A lot of them some of them manage it better than others. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm one of the not managing it good. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm my mother's daughter. I get it and I give it immediately. Oh, give it to them. Oh, they need it.
Oh, really?
Over there. Oh, get scammed by this. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
So I'll die alone and broke, and that's fine. But like, my brother Jimmy, he works like five jobs, but he put both his kids through college. And he's trying to pay their, so they don't have the student loan, but he has the debt, you know?
Right.
And then my sister Karen makes good money, but she also did the same thing over financing things for the kids, you know, so they have. Does that make sense?
College is such a fuck job.
Yeah. Although Sean.
For middle class people, they work their whole lives.
Debts. Sean paid his own, my nephew.
And then all their savings goes to college. For what?
It's so hard. And then health coverage.
College and health coverage are the two things that cripple the middle class.
But my sister would stand on her head to do whatever. And my brothers, you know, they would, for their kids, they would do anything, you know. And it's the same with all the ones that have kids. They do whatever it is for their kids.
Look at me. I'm going to fucking Omaha to tell jokes. You think I'd be doing that?
Yes.
Omaha, yes, Nebraska.
Do. What club are you doing at Omaha?
I don't even know. They just sent me the offer. I'm like,
I'm going to Portland.
Oh, I'm going there too.
Harvey's? Or
no.
Helium?
Helium.
Oh, you're bigger.
I love Portland.
I've been my first time.
Oh, you're going to love it. It's a fucking great city.
I can't wait. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about it like this isn't going to air 3 weeks after.
No. This is airing.
I had a great time, guys.
Yeah.
In Portland. Because I'm going out of town for like 3 weeks. So I'm trying to get
so you're banking these.
Banking.
Yeah, I know. I got to. I'm getting second hour.
You're getting second hour. Yeah. Which is amazing. I'm thrilled that you're here because you're one of my favorites.
Thank you.
One of my favorites to watch, too. Killer.
Oh, that's so nice to
killer,
hear.
Killer.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I love that you're here. And how long has it been now that you're at the store, working at the store?
I don't know, maybe 5 years or so.
Wow.
At the most.
Wow.
Four.
Okay.
How long's Adam Egitt been here?
Good. Well, he was a manager first, so it's hard for me to remember because he was here as a manager while we had the
I think
the
when he
nut
started
job.
Booking it, because I knew him from the Tempe Improv.
So it could be four or five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he started bringing me in, but I love it. I mean, I'm here as much as I can be. If I'm on the road on the weekend, I don't usually go out much during the week because I want to see the family.
Smart.
So if I'm not, then I'm usually here.
So you have one
a few nights
freshman
a week.
Year.
Yeah.
And you have one
junior year of high school.
Wow. Okay. So you got a little bit of time to breathe for a second.
Yeah. It is weird, though, like the dynamic of like dropping him off at school. Every everything that's in your instinct as a parent is to not abandon your child.
Of course.
Number one thing. Don't
top
forget
priority.
Your kid. Bring your kid home. And then when you go to
have
take them off.
Have you forgotten your kid?
I forgot to pick them up, but I've never left them anywhere.
Okay. Okay. That's normal.
And so you go to we go to Chicago and we spend the weekend. We spend like 3 days running around the city, having a blast. And we have fun. My family, when we're together on vacation, we have so
the
much
best.
Fucking fun.
I love that.
Renting bikes, driving through downtown, and went to the Art Institute. And then my daughter looks at her phone. And she's like, holy shit, my favorite band is playing in Chicago tonight. This band called the Growlers.
Okay.
They're really good. She's turned me on to them before.
Okay.
So I'm like, the concert's in 3 hours. We're like, fuck it. We get 4 tickets.
Yes.
We go to this concert.
Stuff like that.
And it's like at this cool nightclub, holds like, you know, 1,500 people, and they go off on their own. They immediately ditch us and they go off on their own. And me and my wife are dancing over there. And we just had a blast. And then we go to his dorm room and we unpack him. We got fucking bags and bags of shit. Get him unpacked. Meet his roommate. Hang out for like an hour. And then we got to go get our flight. And it was so weird to leave him.
Aww.
And to go get on a plane without him.
Yeah.
Come back to the house without him. It really hit hard. It was like, oh my God. And so, and then we Airbnb'd his room the next day. Get those fucking...
Honey, you can't come home. This is a sewing room now for your mother.
Right.
Leave her alone. You know, they turned it immediately. I think my friend was out for a week and his mother revamped the room within that week. And he was like, what the fuck? Like, well, I forget where he went, but it didn't work out. He came back like 2 months later and he needed like just to stay there for a little bit. And he was like, I don't even have a fucking bed. She took everything. It was hysterical.
Yeah.
I was like, Italian mothers, they turn it over.
Yeah, you gotta turn it over.
They're like, bye, bitch. Like, But my sister-in-law is like that. Like she gets so crazy going to see my nephew, and she'll go down to Florida and bring him like lasagna, and she has my little sister make him cookies, and it's just like, oh, little Jimmy's here. Let's feed him.
Yeah.
You know, like, and Nicole, the older sister, would be like, Mom, I'm starving. Like, it's always the boy.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
No, and that's why I'm glad we went to that concert for her in Chicago, because it was so much all about him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part. Like, I mean, my mom had 10 kids, so we would tease her, like, because she would say 2 kids is a rich man's family. We'd be like, all right, if you could only have 2 kids, which ones would you have?
What'd you say?
I can't really say, but you know. And I go, they didn't hear you.
Yeah.
Well, honey, I don't want to say it. You know.
Yeah.
She felt good, didn't she?
She
works every angle, doesn't she?
You think she said that to each of the kids
every
separately?
Every goddamn one of us. Yeah. Sickening.
Right.
But you were talking about leaving kids. Like, I mean, she had 10 kids. Her sister had 10 kids. And when we would go to Wildwood, New Jersey, that was our big vacation. I mean, I can remember sleeping like head to foot in the bed, like just line them up.
How did you even get there?
My dad's station wagon.
10 kids?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Station wagon's killer. And he would attach, he used to hitch the dune buggy that him and his friends built. And sometimes he would let my brother Jimmy or Tommy stay in the dune buggy. And I'd be like, God, they're so lucky. They're back there. And it's just wind. More dangerous than anything ever.
Yeah.
Like it was basically shitty rigged to the thing, like tied a little rope, sparks coming out. And I was like, just, wait, we may lose them? Okay. Like horrible.
Yeah.
And my dad would be like, hold on to that stuff, boy. You know, and they're just holding things down the 2 hour drive.
That's crazy.
But there was no rules back then. But, I remember my mom tells a story. I always make my mom tell these stories because I want to write a show about her. Not a show, but a movie about her, because she's phenomenal. It's ridiculous, like how she kept all of us alive, technically.
I know.
And she, my dad and her friends were going out, and they got in the back seat of the station wagon, and they went, oh, somebody's doll's back here. And it was my brother Bobby. I was like,
oh, God.
Mom. I go, how many times did you? Oh, a few times that happened, honey. But, you know, nobody said anything. Like, why didn't they say, where's Bobby?
She made 30 meals a day. 30 meals a day.
And she's still making them, poor lady.
No, and to and for her and your dad. Mm-hmm. 36 meals a day.
Until he left, yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, crazy. Like, I always joke that when he left, I was thrilled because we needed the room.
Yeah. Like,
thanks, yeah. Buddy. Thanks for helping out.
So the kitchen table, how big was the kitchen table?
I remember there was like a bench against the wall and it was always like broken. So it would slide. It was the best. So we would all have to like slide in there,
uh-huh.
just wedged in there. And then the ones that got to sit in like the regular chairs, we would just look at them like,
ugh, yeah,
right. They're so important.
Yeah, right.
You know, with their fucking single chair. Meanwhile, I have my brother's sweat on me.
Yeah.
We're stuck together.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they would just jam us in there. It would be like Edie, Billy, Bobby, me, Charlie, just jammed on a bench.
Yeah.
And then Johnny was left-handed or retarded, whatever you want to call him. So he had to sit.
Yeah. Wow.
But we would try to let him sit on the bench with us, but he would always elbow somebody. So
right.
Like, get this weirdo out of here. Like,
why don't you just put him on the end with his elbow flying free?
Well, then my mom would have to be hit by him.
Yeah.
So it was crunch time. Like, whatever. We wait at work. He had his special retard seat, if you will.
No, that means, you know, we're special.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it, buddy. Special means retarded. But I think it's just fascinating to have kids, period.
Mm.
Like even one kid.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
It's crazy that like...
To do it and put them in college? Like,
well,
what
the weird... What's weird about college is... Well, really, it's like the first time they go to camp is like...
Oh, you do camp.
Well,
okay.
We did. Not for that long, but like, you know, they'd go for a couple weeks.
A couple weeks? Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's, to me, exciting. My older brothers and sisters always talk about, like, when we went away to camp, I'm like, yeah, when we had money. And then I got the shit end of the deal.
Yeah.
But I never went to camp.
Yeah. You went to the playground with fucking butter knives.
You goddamn right we did. Every day. That was my playground.
Was there, like, a pool you guys could go to? Like a city pool?
I was the lifeguard there for years. So was my sister
you were?
Karen, and so was my
really?
Little sister
Really?
And we would have my brother Jimmy and Charlie as PMAs, and...
Damn.
I mean, we all worked at that pool. That pool kept us afloat, if you will.
Nice.
Karen would work as a bartender, my older sister. And then when she got pregnant, she was always do the summer, like daytime. But when she got pregnant, she just wouldn't bartend at night. And just, she used to walk around the pool wearing these cute little giraffe. I remember these bathing suits she would wear because her pregnancies always looked like she just had a little distended, tiny belly.
Uh-huh.
She's real skinny. And, her and I look a lot alike, but we're 10 years apart. And one time when she wasn't pregnant, she goes, I got to go to the bathroom. And my mom lived across the street. So she goes, she made me put the whistle around my neck, put sunglasses and the hat on, and walk around the pool like I was her. Now, she's 10 years older than me. So uh-huh. I'm 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's 21. And no one questioned it. To the point where my brother Billy, we're Irish twins, well, like a year apart.
Yeah.
So we're closest. And I see Billy and I'm like, oh, watch this. And I can do a good impression of my sister Karen. And I blow the whistle and I go, Billy, out of the pool. You're out for the summer. Out. So he goes to my mother's house crying. He's like, Mom, Karen kicked me out of the pool. I didn't do anything. And then Karen walked out of the bathroom and he went, fucking Eleanor. He chased me for blocks.
That's hilarious. You must have got fucking torched in that sun.
We did.
You don't belong in the sun
and
for 8 hours a day.
And I would put baby oil on. I have skin cancer.
Oh,
I'll
really?
Be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have them. I have all my little marks. But
Baby oil. Yeah.
And if there was a Sunday, I would come early in a bikini because you couldn't wear a bikini during pool hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have a real suit on. You can't dive in and your tits out, you know.
Yeah.
So... I would come early on Sundays because we opened at 1 on Sundays. It was family day. So I would come early with the PMAs, help them clean. But I would lay out. That was my big layout day to get my belly to try to match the rest of my stained, burnt skin.
Jesus. Did you just freckle?
Blister.
Yeah.
Blister peel. And all the Italian girls basically look like island girls. Right. And I just, they'd be like, are you all right? Do you need to see a doctor? Do you have noxema that you can put all over your body?
Right. I was a caddy. So I would be out there. Wow. I would do 2 loops a day. I would ride my bike. I tell my fucking kids. My kids don't do shit. I would get up.
No kids do shit.
I would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning after drinking all night.
Right.
I'd get on a fucking bicycle and I'd go 7 miles on my bike to get to the golf course. And then I would sit there. I'd stop at the fucking Twin Donuts. I'd get a ham and egg sandwich on a roll, salt and pepper and cheese.
Amazing.
And a large
Kaiser roll.
Yeah.
So
a Kaiser roll. I'd sit in that caddy yard with all the other caddies, wolf that shit down, get out on the course by 7:30, 8 o'clock, 4 hours of hilly course. And this is when I was like 15. 2 big heavy golf bags. I weighed about 135 pounds. I walk up and down these hills. And they say the average round of golf, you walk about 7 miles.
Yeah.
So I would do that for 7 miles, come in, get my lunch, go back out on another loop, do that shit, get on the bike, ride 7 miles home, go out drinking that night.
Wow.
Do that all summer, my teen years.
See, that's amazing. That's real shit.
Yeah. It's
I mean, I didn't
so
work
big.
That hard. I walked across the street.
Yeah. And sat in a chair. But that's more than my kids have done.
But for hours at a clip, you know, 8 hours a day. And we, you know, I did all the, I was working under my sister at first, and then I was a head lifeguard for at least 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Till I was out of high school and in college, you know, because when you're 16 is when legally 15 or 16 you can start working. I forget. Uh-huh. But it was a good paycheck, and my mom didn't have to deal with me, and I was across the street. She's like, you know, the Irish, go fucking start working.
Did you kick any money into the family till?
We had to start paying rent at about 18. Uh-huh. Yeah, that happened. So it was like pay rent or get out, bitch.
Yeah. So how many bedrooms were there in the house?
2 and what I like to call a half bedroom.
2.5.
Mom called it a whole bedroom
because
she put a canopy bed in there because there was girls in there.
Uh-huh.
You could barely open the door. You'd have to like wedge it.
Yeah.
Lodge yourself in and then get caught in that net.
Right.
So that was fun. But yeah, my older sisters were in there, but we put bunk beds in there. So it helped out. But for years, I slept with my brothers. There was 7 of us in the front room.
Oh, wow.
Pure filth.
Pure Jesus.
Filth. Yeah. Crazy shit. You people are monsters. Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You're sickening.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we did it, but we did it. Some people come in the house and they're like, how did you guys survive in here? Like, it looks like a dollhouse now, like, because we're grown, you know?
Oh, is your mom still in that house?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we still, like, I was home 2 weeks ago working when I did that West Nyack gig, and I just stayed for Labor Day, and my mom's house was jam-packed.
Yeah.
And it was all of us, and not all of us, but most of us.
Yeah.
All of us sometimes get there, and it's like just no room, no room at all, you know? But we love it.
Is the pool still there?
Yes, it is, but it closes now. The city's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be open all summer. It was a big deal. But now, too many problems.
Yeah.
Not enough gang fights.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's worse now, actually. It's weirder. They shoot now. Like, they would have dumb weapons. But, I mean, I guess a knife is bad. But now they shoot stupid shit, you know.
Yeah.
So now they don't have PMAs. They have cops sitting there.
So that neighborhood hasn't gentrified at all?
A tad, but not too much. They try, but nobody's moving.
Right.
You know, those, like, my mom's been in there. She said, I came in here in a wedding dress. They'll take me out with a tag on my toe. Mm. Okay, lady, calm down. Fucking Irish.
Top 3 movies about Philadelphia of all time.
Rocky, 1, 2. What am I missing? Hold on.
Yeah.
Philadelphia? I'm just kidding.
Philadelphia. There was the one.
There's so many.
The one that came out a few years ago.
My ears hurt.
With De Niro was the father, and they would go to the football games, and the daughter was a little off, and then she was going to dance with the guy.
Oh, the Silver Lining.
Yeah.
That's Bradley Cooper.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, that's Delco. Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
So you got that.
Delaware County. That's all right. I was okay.
The Philadelphia Story.
The actual Phil, like Katharine Hepburn?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites. What's his name? My mom gets mad because I mentioned that he talks funny.
Cary Grant? Uh-huh. Yeah.
No. Just like, what the fuck is that?
Is he gay?
Is it gay? Is it English? It's hard
know.
To tell.
It was
is he
weird.
Gay or English?
Yeah, right.
But I believe he was raised, like my mom would give you the whole background. And I'm like,
she would
all
say
right,
Rocky,
lady.
She would say Rocky 1, 2, mm-hmm. and.
I'm trying to think. I know there's others, but my brain is like mush right now. There's so many. I mean, like the Vince Papale movie was pretty cool with Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
That's a true story. So that was a good one. They did a good job with that.
Yeah. Deer Hunter was that? Oh no, that was Pittsburgh. That was no, it was.
But
it was
you're right.
And right. Yeah.
That would be a good one.
And the movie I make about my mom is going to be the best one.
Yes.
Yes.
Have you written the script?
Kind of.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm not a good...
How much free time do you have on the road?
So much.
Yes.
But I'm a terrible... I write all the stories down. I'm a terrible formatter.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, then you need to write it with somebody.
Yes. So you're offering?
No.
Damn it!
No, I'm a procrastinator, too. You need somebody who actually...
Damn.
Judd Apatow's here all the time.
I would talk to Judd. Yeah.
You should pitch it to him. You never know.
That's true. Judd's great. Yeah, I like Judd. Oh, shit, it's 11:30. All right, we got to wrap this up.
Jesus.
I'm so sorry.
How long have we been talking? Over an hour?
Know. I think so.
Oh, my God.
I'm
time
in big
flew.
Trouble.
That felt like a half an hour.
Yeah, I love you. Thank you
all
so
right,
much
I
for
too.
Coming. I have to go up and do the main room. No one's come down to get me. Do you think they forgot about me?
What time's your spot?
10:45. Oops.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's all right. But it's fine. This is great. You're amazing. Greg Fitzsimmons. So you'll be in Omaha when?
I don't remember, but I'm going to be in Philly, Kansas
when
City,
Philly?
Austin, Texas, Cincinnati, San Francisco, did I say?
Mm-mm.
Portland.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, just go to fitzdog.com and check out my dates. Come see me. I'd love to see you.
Go see him. He's amazing, hilarious, phenomenal.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
So
great to hang out with you.
I'm going to leave all my shit down here. Wait.
Bye, Rick.
Thanks, Rick. Today's episode is brought to you by mybookie.com.
For all your betting needs this season, check out mybookie.
Yeah.
Use that promo code STORE. How do you spell that?
STORE.
That's right.
It's like a spelling bee.
Yep. They'll double your first deposit if you use that. So that's definitely a good plan. You play, you win, you get paid. It's that simple.
It's so easy to do. Look, it's a new season. Things are all mixed up now.
You know, I'm only going to recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me personally.
Yeah.
And I'm living big. You know, I drive a 2013 Toyota Camry and it didn't just fall into my lap.
That's true.
I happened to make a couple really good decisions over at MyBookie, and that led me to the automobile of my dreams.
That's impressive. I like that. I just love also that like MyBookie has better bonuses and
yep.
more prop bets than any other sports book. I mean, they have it all.
They have live in-game betting on every single NFL game. They got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And if you're a fantasy guy or girl, you know, you can even bet over under on how many fantasy points a player will score each week.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that adds another element to your fantasy game.
Right. They're also, this year, they're having the first online handicap super contest.
Yep.
And first place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000. And it only costs $100 to get in.
Yeah, that's a good bet. You know, if I'm putting 100 in, I want to make sure I'm getting at least 100,000 out.
Yeah.
So I don't lose. That's my thing.
Put 100 in the ATM, you don't get anything. Put it on mybookie.com.
Exactly.
Why
right.
not? Using promo code STORE, STORE.
Spell the same every time.
Every time
that's
you spell
a safe
it
bet.
The same. STORE. What if I spelled it wrong?
That's mybookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code STORE, STORE. I think they realize a lot of our listeners can't spell, and that's the important part is we got to let people
right.
know.
Look, It's real simple. You bet, you win, yep, they pay. Easy. Do it. Don't be an idiot. Have a fun season. It's fun to gamble on a game. My mom always says, why do you gamble on the game? It makes it more stressful. No, not stressful. Exciting.
It gives you a reason to actually care.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Yes. So go to mybookie.com. Use promo code. How do you spell it, Rick?
S-T-O-R-E.
S-T-O-R-E.
It's that simple. No accents, because this is good old-fashioned American English.
S-T-O-R-E.
So we don't need, you know, accent aigu or whatever that European crap is.
Want to just change the accents for...
If you want to go to mybookie.com in different accents, fine.
S-T-O-R-E. I don't know what accent that was, but it was sure. Exciting.
It
got exciting
it
on the E.
Just check it out, guys. Go win some money and then, you know, send it to us. If one of our listeners wins that $100,000, send us
just us a
little
percentage.
Bit. And, you know, we'll make sure to, you know, respect you, which is a rare thing.
We don't respect a lot. Mybookie.com, STORE, promo code.